Look with me, if you would, in Matthew chapter 2, and begin at verse number 1. We'll read through verse number 13. Matthew 2 and verse number 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born of the Jews, king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." I like what it says there. It says, "For he that is born king of the Jews. For we have seen his star." It was his star. Amen? He made all the stars. He made all creation. Did you ever stand and look up at the stars and wonder, I wonder if that was the star that they followed, that you're looking at? Could that have been the one? Could that have been one over there? Knowing that God created all the stars? They just didn't happen. God made them all. God hung them in the universe. God created them. And it was his star in the east and are come to worship him. That's why they came. When Herod the king had heard these things, what things? That he that is born king of the Jews. That's what he heard. He didn't like that. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophets, that thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." And Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Remember, they weren't going to Bethlehem. They went to Jerusalem. And so he inquired of them and asked them, what time did this star appear? And he sent them now to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for this young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. The star simply waited on them. And now went before them again till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, not in a stable now, but when they came into a house, they saw the young child with Mary and mother and his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed to their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee unto Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child. Remember, he said he was going to worship him, but he was to destroy him. Now watch. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that he might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men because they didn't come back, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. 2 years had passed. And so he killed, murdered, slaughtered, slew all the children 2 years old. Think about that. Hoping to kill Jesus. Christmas. It took a lot for us to get this far to be here at Christmas time. More than we realize. To call what we do Christmas, to have the fun that we have and the joy that we have. And Christmas is a joyous time, and I don't want to take any of that away from you tonight, because it is a joyous time. I'm like a kid. I enjoy Christmas and opening presents as much as anybody. I'm just like a kid. Amen. And I just want to preach a message to you tonight about gifts to remember. Gifts to remember. You think about that best gift that you ever had, the greatest gift you ever had, that you opened under a tree. When I was young, when I was a kid, for some reason, my daddy was 42 and turned 43. In 3 months. My daddy would be 111 years old right now. You know, I was the apple of his eye. I wasn't spoiled, but I was well loved. He told me anyway. I'm sure I was spoiled, but I always had 10 gifts to open at Christmas time. Now, unfortunately, some of those gifts were like underwear, you know. That used to aggravate me to death. Why are you going to give me underwear? Why has that got to be one of the 10 gifts? Well, you need them. Then I would open up a t-shirt. Say, why do I got to have t-shirts? One of them would be handkerchiefs. One of them would be socks. You know. Got to get on down the line. Pretty soon they'd get down to that last gift. And my mother said, now open this one. And that would be one that I had asked for. That would be the big one. But they weren't always big. Sometimes it was small. I remember getting a crystal radio. I went to crystal radio so bad. Anybody remember what a crystal radio was? Do you? It was coming in a little pack like this. I remember mine was in a little gold pack and had one thing on, put it in your ear, and the other one had a little alligator clip on. You clipped it on something metal, and then you could do this and you could hear. You get the Grand Ole Opry in at night. Different things. And that was neat. When you get in bed and put the cover over your head and just listen to radio at nighttime. Boy, that was exciting. Crystal, you didn't know what was in that pack because it was solid and closed, you know. And that was neat, boy. But that's the way it was when I was growing up. I remember my dad was the same way. I remember one time that he opened all his gifts and all of mine. He didn't pay attention to what he was doing. And I got up and he confessed to me and I said, you're kidding, right? No, Gary, I'm sorry. I said, what did I get? Socks, shorts. Oh, my. But my dad was the same way. He's just, he just loved Christmas. And Christmas is a happy time, isn't it? That's a happy time. But you know what? Christmas is a sad time for some people. Some people that lost a loved one. For a lot of people, this year it's going to be a sad time. I got a friend I went to school with, now lives in Kentucky. We stopped and seen her this year. This is her first year without her husband. So it's going to be a time of emptiness for her. There's some people that don't have hardly anybody, or some don't have anybody. Everybody they knew, they're up in age. Everybody they knew is dead. They don't have anybody. Christmas is a time of sadness. Just probably a stone's throw from where this church is, there's probably somebody that's going to have a sad Christmas. It's not happy for everybody. And this is where you and I come in, to try and bring some cheer to somebody. We're fortunate. We're fortunate. I'm fortunate. I have today, and I'll be honest with you, more than I need. I got more than I need. And yet in my mind, I can think of some things I'd like to have. You know, we're spoiled. We're Americans. We're spoiled. I'm glad I live in a country I can be spoiled and I can have things. Aren't you? I'm glad I don't live in a third world country. I don't have anything, and the water I drink is not good. And I don't have enough to eat. I don't know why God's blessed me and blessed you that we live where we live and we have more than we need, but we do. We go to yard sales and buy things. Take them home. We don't have any place to put them. So things end up in the basement until we get enough gumption to have our own yard sale and sell them. We get some money, we go out and buy more. But it's fun, amen. But God's good. God's good. Let's remember some times right now that we had at Christmas time, some gifts to remember. Some gifts for you and I to remember in Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 1 here. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star." I saw his star. I saw the light of his star in 1958. Amen? I never forget. I was in church for a year. Hearing some of the greatest preaching that I guess you could hear. I don't know. I remember hearing B.R. Lakin preach that year, and good preaching, and saw the light. But you know what? It was one time I saw that light. It just shone on me that I just couldn't say no again. I just couldn't say no to it. I walked down an aisle and two flights of stairs and got down from the balcony and got down, probably as far as the wall is, the platform is pretty near as big as from wall to wall. And but from the wall to here, I got that far at the altar and got down and asked the Lord to save me that day. But I remember that day when the light shone on me. And you know what? Excuse me. That might have been the very last day that God shone his light on me. I'd been there for a year listening to good preaching. It's amazing how some people will sit and listen to good, sound preaching and say no to the Lord. I did it for a year. Oh, and I'm glad God shone his light one more time. And I saw the light. Amen. Listen, God is so good. I remember, listen, the hope of not only that Christmas star, but the hope of Christmas sharing. This is a time for sharing our love with others and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. Look with me in 1 Peter in chapter 1, if you would. 1 Peter in chapter 1 and verse 21. 1 Peter 1, 21. We have something to give to others. Amen. It says in 1 Peter 1, 21, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. People got a lot, they got hope in so many things today. They got hope in so many things. People got hope in Santa Claus. I mean, Santa Claus is fourth member of the Trinity to people. See, if Santa Claus is their God right now. Hope in so many things. They believe in so many things. They get an automobile, hit it downhill and put it in gear. Never put their foot on the brake. Put it in gear and take off. Not knowing whether they got any brakes or not. Open up a can of RC or a can of root beer, Brother John. Pop that thing, put it up, not giving any idea at all if there's a rat's tail in it. I'm going to pour it into a clear glass. I'm going to see if there's a rat's tail in it or not. People put faith, hope in so many things. But it's hard in these days to get them to put hope in God. Hope in God. We have the hope, the Christmas hope to share with other folk. Amen. Christmas is a time of encouraging people. Encouraging people, amen. Sometimes it's even a time where Scrooge will lighten up and give a buck here and there, amen. It's an amazing time. Christmas is an amazing time. It's an amazing time. It's time when people even change their personality because it's Christmas. They'll do things for people that they don't do on other times because it's Christmas. It's Christmas. There's a spirit about it. The spirit of Christmas blessings. Amen. You know, it's time that we just don't look for blessings like we do, even especially at Christmas time, but that we look to be a blessing to somebody. I appreciate the ministry that John has, the nursing home, because there's people in there that I'm sure don't have anybody visit them. I'm sure there's people. Who wants to go to a nursing home? Who wants to go to a nursing home? I had a fellow in my church. His sister ended up there. He was pushing 80 years old. Finally made it to 80 before he died. He looked at a nursing home like a concentration camp. That's what he looked at. Every time I passed one, I said, God, please keep me out of there. Yeah, I do. I don't want to go to a nursing home. I go in there and I see people taking care of people. You know? I was in there the other day visiting a guy and I went to the Lord and there was a bluegrass band in there. Boy, they was doing good. Sounded good. I thought, well, he was enjoying that. But God, keep me out of here. A lot of people need a blessing. A blessing everywhere. Not just at Christmas time, but they need a blessing. It's good to receive blessings, amen. Christmas just simply has a good spirit about it. It's a time of goodwill. It's a time folk will bury a hatchet. One time, years ago, back in the 60s, I worked at Rockwell Manufacturing in Barberton, Ohio, and I had a 61 Pontiac. It was really nice. And I was going to sell it. And I sold it to this guy. He had to go to the credit union to get a loan on it. I was backslidden as a bootlegger. So I'm just squealing on myself now. I sold it to him. We'd come on to a price and everything. And he said, I went to credit union on Friday. He said, I'll know Monday about it. He said, shouldn't be any problem. I should have the money Monday for this car. Well, I still owned it. I was driving over the weekend. And I went to this place where I got gasoline, Dave Bearshell. He did all my car work, and I bought my gas there and everything. Little Jimmy, he was a little short guy. He was kind of like a dwarf, but he wasn't quite that short. Oh, maybe about like, he was a nice fella. He said, I still had that for sale sign in the window. He said, I'd like to buy that car of yours. I said, yeah, I told him that I got a guy that's going to buy it. And he said, how much are you going to give you? So he said, I'll give you this amount. And you know, I sold that car to him on Saturday for that amount. So now I got to go to work on Monday and tell the guy that went ahead and had a loan, was going to get the check on Monday, that I sold my car to somebody else. So when I did that, he was a friend. He was a friend. When I did that, of course he got mad, but he was hurt that I did that to him. And he just walked away. You know what? He wouldn't talk to me. He wouldn't talk to me anymore. He was that hurt. Months went by. He wouldn't talk to me. That was like in the springtime. And it come up on Christmas. He still hadn't talked to me. I tried to talk to him. He'd walk away. That's a true story. I sent him a Christmas card. And I put on there, I forget exactly what I said to him. But I asked him, I mean, this really crushed me. I really learned something. But I asked him to forgive me. I said, I made a bad mistake. I learned something from it. And I really would appreciate if he would forgive me for doing what I did. And it was Christmas. And he sent me a card back and he said, forgiven. Boy, you talk about a weight off my shoulders. And we were friends after that again. Do you know what I think it was? It's Christmas. It's just something about Christmas. Just the spirit of Christmas. What a time to bury the hatchet. What a time. I got a friend mad at me right now over politics. Soft me. Imagine that. Some people can't take the fact that you don't agree with them. They cannot take the fact you don't agree with them. And we know what party they're from. They just can't take it. And so you capitulate, or you stand firm. And they're not your friend. So, I'm going to stand firm. Friend for almost 50 years. So what are you going to do? You know, I don't know. But thank God for Christmas. I already sent him a card. I don't know. It's Christmas. Jesus Christ came to you and I to do something for us that we cannot do for ourselves. He came as a virgin, took on the flesh of man, God did, to be raised on this earth, to live a perfect, sinless life, be mocked, spit on, thrashed, beat, body ripped up, crucified, buried, thank God rose again. Ascended into heaven and coming again for you and I. 2,000 years ago. heart of Christmas loving. He did that because he loves you and I. In Mark 12 and 30, and I'm just about done, Mark 12 and 30. Mark 12 and 30. I got a couple messages I preached just on this verse alone. It says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." This is the first commandment. God said to love him. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. God wants that devotion that you give to your husband and your wife, that you love him from the very bottom and depths of your heart. Of your heart. You ever tell your wife, "Honey, I love you from the bottom of my heart"? That's the kind of devotion God wants. For you love him from your heart. And then he says, "And with all thy soul, God wants you to love him with your soul. Your soul is that which is going to live on for eternity, not your flesh. Get rid of this old stuff. God's going to give you a new body, so you're getting rid of this old stuff. Although Paul said, bring it under subjection while you're here and do right with it. But God said, don't only love me with the bottom, to love me with your heart, but to love me with your very own soul. Say, honey, I love you from the depths of my soul." That's what God wants, that kind of devotion. To love him from the depths of our soul. "And with all thy mind." God wants our mind. I said once before, it's time we all put our mind on the altar and ask God, clean our think tanks. Our think tanks. Sometimes what we do from here on down is not what we do from here up. God wants us to love him with our mind. Think about that. With our minds. What do we think about? What do we think about? My old preacher told me, Dr. Powell, he said, "You know, when I go to bed," he said, "I pray. My mind's on the Lord. I'm praying." He said, "And I fall asleep. Praying." Another preacher said, "That's kind of sacrilegious, falling asleep praying." As always, somebody has another opinion. You know. Brother Powell, he's been with me in meetings in my motorhome. We've stayed together in my motorhome. And one night, he snores terribly. One night in particular, he was my wife and I's pastor. He was snoring, and all of a sudden I could hear him praying. He was praying. And then he fell off to sleep. And I thought, well, you know, he does what he said he did. He prayed himself to sleep. Well, I never forgot that. Amen. Somebody says, you know, you need to count sheep. Huh? You need to be talking to the shepherd. Talk to the shepherd. And just pray and pray and pray and fall asleep that way. Never forgot that. He loved God that much. We need to love God. Love God. I've got a lot of presents. I've been blessed and loved and been given. There's so many things to remember about Christmases that I've had in the past, and I hope in the future. Got a lot of gifts. We've had those gifts we opened up and we say, boy, it's blue. What is it? What is it? It's one of those things that you give at a gift exchange when you get a chance next year. That's what it is. You don't know what it is. Haven't you got those gifts? I like getting gifts. Greatest gift I ever got. In 1958, when I walked that balcony, came down, and I asked Christ to save me. It's the greatest gift I ever got. What a gift. I didn't have to buy it. I didn't have to pay for it. All I had to do was accept it. Greatest gift I ever got. Above all gifts, Jesus Christ. The best. Now he wants us to tell others about that gift so they can accept it too. What's your favorite gift? What's the best gift you ever got? Let's all stand our feet.